Happy Friday, everybody, and thank you so much for kicking off that weekend a little bit early with us right here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's episode of the show is brought to you, as always, by the best travel agents out there. They're over at themagicforless.com. If you're thinking about heading to your next Disney destination soon, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or on the Disney Cruise Line, get first-class concierge-level service for no charge to you using one of the great agents over at The Magic for Less. If you're thinking about heading down to Walt Disney World here in the spring or early summer, you can save big money by booking right now. You can save up to 30% on your accommodations and even more when you upgrade to a package. Check out all this great information. It's all right there for you. Check it out over at themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 508 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. We made it to the weekend, and you know what? We're going to help you get rid of those January blues by talking some Disney. And more specifically, we're actually going to go out to the Disney Cruise Line for our second Disney Cruise Line FAQ show. So we're going to answer some questions from over on the forums, some of the emails you guys sent us, and talk Disney Cruise, because ladies and gentlemen that are sailing with us in July, we are now inside of 6 months. We're inside of 180 days, woo-hoo, which means this cruise is right around the corner. So we're battling a lot of us in the cold weather, snow, you know, extreme cold weather right now. Get those thoughts turned to Aqueducts, Animator's Palette, and of course, lots of fun in Evolution. And if you need to take a nap, of course, Deck 4. Down in the loungers. We got to love that place too. So we're going to talk some Disney Cruise Line today and warm you up in January. But first of all, joining me while she's making or trying to make and being very frustrated, trying to get that Be Our Guest pot or restaurant ADR. I almost did it again. We have Ricky. What's up, Ricky? How's it going?
Not well. The server is unavailable and it is making me upset. I want to make my Be Our Guest reservation. I have the time picked out and everything and nothing.
So now everybody knows why I'm deaf, because Ricky apparently got to the point where it offered her the date and it offered her the time to confirm. But then, of course, like taking candy from a kid, the server was busy when she went to confirm.
I'm saddened, so I guess I will try later.
All right. That's, try again. The food will taste better the harder you work. Remember that.
That is correct. I am ready for, oh my gosh, there's so many delicious things that are on this menu. I can't wait. I want to try all of it. So I'm so excited. Brian, get out that wallet. I'm ready to spend some money.
I did get mine for July 11th, so I can get you a doggy bag or something if you can.
Oh, okay. That may be what I have to do. So you can sneak that alcohol out to me, right?
Yeah. Okay. Let's really start a controversy. We've already had enough bullets shot at us from last Friday, Ricky.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Let's not do that.
All righty. Also joining us from down in the wonderful Sunshine State, we have Deb. What's up, Deb?
Send us some snow, dude.
Hey, just go over to Canada. They had snow there this week. Did you not know that?
Not here.
Yeah. No. Limited time magic.
Well, it's magic snow.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not the real stuff, though.
Hey, man, you chose to move to the Sunshine State.
I get it. It's worth it. I agree. Oh, things are going great here. How about you guys?
Doing great. Love talking Disney here on a Friday.
Absolutely. Or even on the other days of the week.
That's right. If you're listening on a Sunday night, hey, it's just as good. So whenever you want to listen. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Happy Friday, Pam.
Happy Friday, but it's cold here again. I have to start into my season of complaining about it being cold, because it really is very, very, very cold here now.
Oh, it's my favorite time of year.
I know.
I'm complaining about the weather.
And it is so bad. And you know what? When we came home from Florida, we dropped 60 degrees that day. When we left, it was I know, right? And so we had kind of a breath of fresh air, warm air, this weekend, and so we felt like we were back in Florida, and now here we are. It's so cold. I mean, seasonal for this time of year in Pittsburgh, but really, just not good.
I know. I told my students the other day that, you know, I think we're getting soft because we're, I mean, we are dying, and it's in the 20s here in St. Louis, but, you know, it's supposed to be this cold in January in the Midwest, but I think the last two winters have been so mild that, you know, in a lot of places, we're getting a little soft. We're not used to what real winter cold feels like, so... Who knows?
I don't want to be either. I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm not going to be embarrassed because I'm getting soft.
You know, speaking of apologies, though, I do need to apologize to our audience that over the past 5 years, I have used performance-enhancing podcasting drugs to... I'm just kidding. That's a bad joke.
Oh, Mike came out. We knew it.
Hey, man, you don't get these pipes, you know, naturally.
Oh no.
Man. And you know, people have suspected for so long, but you always denied it.
You know, personally, I'm really sad about that because I mean, I really did look up to Lance. I mean, come on. I mean, I think most Americans did. I mean, he seemed to just be this, you know, Disney podcast, but like a Cinderella story that overcame so much. And it is pretty big letdown, but what can you do?
We didn't do it.
No,
so
we didn't do it. We just made the joke, but we shouldn't have. So anyway, let's get into to answering some questions about the Disney Cruise Line and cruising in general. But most of these will relate to the Disney Cruise Line. Again, we are sailing on July 14th, a bunch of us. And if you want to sail with us, hey, there's still room. You know, shoot an email to me and we'll get you set up if you want to go. There's still some great staterooms available in most categories. And we'd love to have you sail with us because there is no vacation. Oh, we have a blast. And there's no vacation like a Disney cruise.
Mike's paying for y'all's cruises. Yeah, y'all just call him up?
I can't even hardly pay for mine. So I don't think so. All right. So
put on the Beer Guest Podcast credit card. That's what you told me.
That's true. All right. So we're going to start off with a few questions from Julie. And she's our good friend. And lucky Julie, let me just tell you, she is sailing on the Disney Fantasy tomorrow. So everybody, I know a lot of our listeners do this. They go to portcanaveralwebcam.com, and on Saturday afternoons, you can watch the Disney Fantasy sail away, and all the people, man, you're just jealous of those people because, you know, they're in for 7 days of tropical fun on the Disney Cruise Line. It's a blast, and you can also watch the Dream on Sunday afternoons, and I believe Thursday afternoons. Kind of depends, 4 and 3 runs. But it's kind of fun, so portcanaveralwebcam.com, check that out, and give a wave to Julie tomorrow. But our first question that she has, it says, main dinner seating versus late seating. We've had folks that are, you know, you have kids, you want to get on main seating, typically late seating. They usually, you know, just kind of in the cruise industry, late seating is more for just couples and adults. A lot of times if you sign up late for a cruise, maybe main seating is taken. So Pam, what are your thoughts on the two seatings for cruising? I mean, is it something that a lot of people stick to? Are trends changing that sometimes there's kids on late? What do you think?
I think that there are. I think especially on a Disney cruise, there are going to be kids at both early and late seatings. When Hannah was youngest, we actually almost always did late seating. And that was basically because we wanted as much of that day to be able to spend doing the things that we wanted to do the most. And I will tell you, when you have main seating, sometimes you're like pressed to get back and like clean up for dinner and, you know, change clothes from what you're wearing throughout the day, especially if you're on a cruise that is port intensive and there's a lot of things you want to see at each port and you're out doing excursions and things like that all day. Oftentimes, if you have main seating, you may miss your seating because you're just getting back on the ship when people are sitting down to eat. So I think it's really what works best for your family and what you feel like your family can deal with. And just keep in mind, you will be eating all the time. So if you think to yourself, oh my gosh, that late seating is so late, you've eaten 8 other times that day. So you'll probably be able to make it to the late seating if that's all that's available, even if you think you may not. So,
and also a lot of times if you say you want main seating, it's taken up, you know, and you get put on second seating, you can always wait list that main seating. And a lot of times that will come through, especially for small groups, you know, families of 4 or 5. And one of the tips that if you want to do this, get on the wait list with either your travel agent or Disney Cruise Line directly. But also, upon arrival on the ship, just go to the restaurant or wherever it says. You'll get a personal navigator that tells you where all these things are taking place. Sometimes they take place in clubs, you know, dining changes just all over the ship. But go right there and explain your situation. And many times you can come through with that seating change if it's something that's going to be really important to you. It's at least worth a shot. And I've heard great absolutely. Things. People have good luck with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say if you have booked a cruise and you just can't decide between main seating and late seating, make it for main seating now if it's still available. You can always find availability at the late seating. So make it for main seating first, and then if you change your mind, you'll be able to do that. Don't make it for late seating and then try to change to main because you may not be able to do that. So
good call. Always grab the main and go the other way. So
that's right.
Second question from Julie is, it says, on sea days, is it impossible to find open lounge chairs? Are the pools and decks super crowded? I understand they will be more crowded than a day in port, but are they manageable? So Ricky, you know, you've sailed. So what did you think from, you know, a couple of years ago we sailed on the Dream, you know, on the sea days, getting a seat and all that stuff?
Well, I think I was a little special because it was just Brian and me. And so, you know, we hung out in the adult area a lot. We actually, on the main day, there was a great area up on the top deck that had like no people by it. So that was kind of nice. And we also did the spa, the package where you could just go to the rainforest room and the hot tubs and stuff like that. So, you know, we spent time in both those places, but I will admit it is a little more crowded on sea day on that deck. You know, a lot of people seem to be out there, but I don't think it's, you know, too much trouble to find a spot for yourself and your family to relax in. You know, just know that everybody, you know, everybody's going to be doing a lot of the same thing because, you know, it's one of the best things to do on a cruise is to relax on the deck. So, but I don't think it'll be too terribly much trouble.
Yeah. And, you know, I travel with kids, so we don't do the adult areas, which those are, I did go up there for about an hour last summer when we were on the Dream, and it's, oh man, it's a wonderful thing to go into the adult areas if you can escape, because they are, there's just tons of different kinds of seating, you know, with shade and, you know, really comfy recliners and so forth. But even with the kids on sea days, of course, yeah, it is crowded because people do tend to congregate around the pools, but it's kind of like at the parks. I mean, if you want to really get a great seat next to the pool, you got to get there early and grab that, you know, kind of stake out your seat. But people are coming and going because there's so much going on sea days. So, you know, maybe grab a seat that's not your first choice, but then, you know, just kind of spot out, you know, hey, you want to move up a couple rows next to the pool or, you know, somewhere else. And, you know, the top decks, I know on the classic ships, the Magic and the Wonder, I believe it's decks 9 and 10 where the pool's on 9. They have the open deck 10 that's kind of overlooks the pools. I think that's what it is. And I think it's 12 and 13 on the Dream and the Fantasy. But the pool's down one deck. But there's a deck above it where you can really lay out and enjoy the breeze, and it feels wonderful when it's hot. So, yeah, I mean, it's crowded. But, I mean, of course, Disney Cruise Line and all the cruise lines know that on sea days, they're going to have to give something for, you know, there's going to have to be a place to put everybody. So, you know, I haven't seen a problem with it. I mean, Pam, what's your experience with sea days?
Yeah, I agree. If you do, and especially if you don't have to be on that level, like Mike was saying, where the pool actually is, if you could be on the one above it, and on the Fantasy and the Dream, there are spots where you can be, you know, one deck above where the deck the pool actually is and still see the pool fine.
Yes.
So, you know, you don't feel like, you know, you have to be right there. But there's plenty of seats, and it's weird because at other times during the cruise, those decks will be pretty much open. So I'm always thinking, where the heck did all those chairs go? I mean, I know that they stack them at some times, but when you're at sea, man, those chairs are coming out of the woodwork. You know, they're like everywhere.
It's true.
So, and also, you know, even if you can't get a seat there by the pool, you know, you will find some available on those beautiful lounge chairs that are on the open decks that you can walk the whole way around on all the ships. So look for those too.
Yeah, find those little secret places like deck 4. I mean,
yes.
If you don't need to be in the sun, that's a great place to grab a book, relax because it's shaded. Just as beautiful of a view of the ocean out there. But man, it's just, there's a great breeze. And well, mm-hmm. You know, not everybody go to deck 4 because when we're all sailing together, there's only so many chairs down there and I want one. So I'm just saying, maybe go somewhere else. Because I
that's
love
right.
those. That's,
yeah.
that's my place. And you know what? If you don't have a veranda, that is the place to go because I didn't, you know, I sail in insides a lot and, you know, maybe an ocean view and with the big window. But yeah, I enjoy deck 4 quite a bit. And if you've never sailed on the Disney ships, definitely check out deck 4 and let us know what you think. So, Debbie, real quick, have you haven't sailed Disney Cruise Line yet, have you?
I have not. No, booked it, but not ridden it or been on it. I'm excited. Yeah. And this time I'm actually getting a veranda just because I really want to embrace that. And you know, the thing is, upgrading from an inside up to a veranda oftentimes is really not that much of a difference for what you get. So I actually upgraded just a little bit, and I'm trying the veranda this time.
It's a great splurge, I'll tell you. You'll love it. Because I know that, you know, hey, you talk about your little God garden in Epcot. There's your little God garden on the Disney
Cruise
Line.
That's right. Exactly.
That works for me. I love it.
All right. Well, now Julie's final question here is about shutters, which is the kind of the photography central for the ships, where they put all your pictures they take throughout your cruise. And she says, I'm in total sticker shock looking at the prices of the packages they offer. Is it just me? I thought maybe you guys could discuss this and give your opinions. And yes, it's very expensive. So, Pam, any ideas for Julie on shutters and photography and
Julie.
All that stuff?
I wish I did. And here's the thing that is my frustration that I will share with you. Oftentimes we'll have a picture taken and it'll be a shot that I really like, but I don't like the size. And I may be odd, but I do not like the large photos. 8x10, I have very few of them in our house. I like the smaller 5x7s. And oftentimes it'll be like in an 8x10 size or even a larger size. They'll always say I can do it larger. And I was like, larger? Larger than 8x10? Oh my gosh. But anyways, and I'll say, can I get this in a 5x7? No, they can't do it. Mm-hmm. And I want to just reach across the desk and grab their little hand. I'm not saying neck or throat or anything, and say, seriously, in this day and age,
it's digital. Come on.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. But they are very, very strict about it. They are very firm. They will not do anything about it. I have walked away from photos and just been like, you know what? Chances are I have a photo that I will love, you know, whatever. But so here's what I will say. You know, there are many, many opportunities for photos besides the canned photos that are taken, you know, at different times. Have your friends take them, have guests who are walking by take them, you know, have the photo pass photographers on Castaway Key and things like that take them. And hopefully you'll come up with some good photos of your own. I am not an advocate of that because I think that very often, especially at Walt Disney World, when they brought the price of photo pass down so much and made that, you know, something that was really cool, that it was easy to get pictures of your whole family, blah, 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 blah. I just don't see that same transition happening on the Disney Cruise Line ships. At the same time, you've spent thousands of dollars on your vacation, and if having that photo is something that you feel like you don't want to live without, then absolutely pay the price and get it. And as soon as you sign your little name to the receipt, walk away and forget the money that you spent on that. Just be glad you have the photos. So.
Because, you know, the thing they do on the cruise line is they actually do print up your pictures, and you get a portfolio with, you know, and it expands as the cruise goes on. So, you know, as they take your pictures throughout the cruise, and they do it, you know, like at dinner and around the ships, and there's great character meet and greets on the Disney Cruise Line ships. You can meet all the princesses, all the characters. I mean, it's amazing. So you'll have some really great shots, and I think a lot of people walk off the ship, and because I want to say that the shots are about $20 a piece. They're in that ballpark, and that's, you know, that's really outrageous. That's a lot of money. But then again, I think this is part of the psychology of why they do it this way, is that it's like, you know, it's take it or leave it. You're going to walk off the ship on the day that you disembark, and they're going to throw those away. And a lot of people don't want that to happen. They want to take those home. And I know they do offer a package, and I don't have the number in front of me. I want to say it's around $299 for all your pictures in your portfolio, digital copies. And so that's an option. Again, like Pam said, you're paying a lot for the cruise. You know, maybe just make the splurge. I don't know. Ricky, what do you think about all this?
Well, if you know, if they do have a way to do it digitally and get copies, then I would suggest taking as many photos as you possibly can while you're on the cruise, because that's the way you'll get your money's worth out of that. You know, for me, having grown up with photography my whole life, I'll be honest, $20 isn't that much for a picture. You know, I will be honest with you. I know a lot of people who charge a lot more than that, so that's not so bad. But you know, if it's something that you really have to have, you know, pick
pick a budget for yourself of say $100, and you know, these are the pictures, you know, that you'll get, and that's it. You know, I mean, that's the best advice that I can give, is to, you know, budget yourself and say, okay, this is what we're getting, and we're not going to spend over that. If we spend under that, that's great. But you know, if you really have to have some of those photos, that's the best way that I can suggest to do it.
Yep. And that's it. You know, just kind of build it into your budget. Like, that's a good idea. You know, just set an X amount. But I mean, if you've ever gone on a cruise, you set a budget, it never sticks at that.
Oh,
budget.
No, you never stick with it.
Double it.
You know, it's best intentions, right?
No kidding. It's so easy to spend money on a cruise ship. You think it's easy at Walt Disney World. Oh, my gosh. It's easier yes. on a cruise. Okay. So let's go to the boards. And we have a thread going on our the suggestion box sub forum. And Russell asks a question. Okay. So, you know, he's ready to sail. And you know, he asks, what do we have to do, you know, before the cruise? Dining, activities, shore excursions. Do we sign up on the cruise ship or before? Are there certain don't miss items that we should know about? So, you know, from the time you put down your deposit until the cruise, you know, there's a lot to think about, because you have certain benchmarks as you're getting closer, like final payment date, and a lot of stuff starts kicking in at your final payment. But Pam, what suggestions do you have for folks once they put down the deposit? And a lot of times it's maybe 9 months to a year out. So what do you do then?
So start looking at the ports you're going to on the days that you're going to them, and figuring out, okay, here's some things I'll really want to see in those ports. And the Disney Cruise Line site is a great resource, because you'll be able to see the excursions that are available there through Disney Cruise Line. And start checking them out and see if there's things that you really can't, you know, that you don't want to miss. And talk to your traveling party and get all their opinions, so that when you're able to book those things, you're ready. You know what you want to do. You know what's interesting to you and stuff like that. I mean, you really need to be prepared, because like Mike said, when your final payment date happens, that's when you can start doing all these things. So start looking at that. But I would look around the Disney Cruise Line site to begin with and think about dining. Do you want to do the adult only restaurants? Do you, you know, is that something that's important to you? If you're on the cruises on the new ships, do you want to do Remy as well as Palo, or instead of Palo? You know, those are things to think about too. Start thinking about things on the ship that your family is going to want to do. Like, is someone going to want to go to the spa? Is that going to be important to them? Or does someone want, you know, to do some other activity? Start thinking about things like that.
And you're right. I mean, these things you kind of do need to think about before your final payment date, because when final payment date comes, that's when you need to be paid in full, obviously, for your cruise. It's kind of like the 45-day mark at Walt Disney World for the packages. You know, if you're probably familiar with that. Final payment date kind of depends on where the ship's going and the type of cruise, but typically it's about 75 days out on a cruise for Disney Cruise Line. And what's going to happen then is that once you're paid in full and your window opens, you can go on the Disney Cruise Line site, and it is so easy to do your online check-in, to book your specialty dining. And you got to do that right away, because Palo and Remy do kind of fill up quickly online. But if you don't get it online, don't sweat, because they hold back a bunch for when you arrive on board. That's a big tip. You know, if you want to get on, if you want to go to Remy or Palo and you don't get it online, doesn't mean your cruise is ruined. Just as soon as you arrive, again, check your personal navigator, which will tell you where everything's happening, and go make that reservation. And people have lots and lots of luck doing that. Shore excursions the same way. Some go faster than others, you know, some are just more popular. And with the shore excursions, it's kind of different than the restaurants. You know, once those fill up, they're pretty much full, unless there's a cancellation, which does happen. So, you know, if you want something really bad, just keep checking, you know, every couple of days or so, you know, when you get a chance, and if it opens up, grab it. Don't wait on an excursion that you really want to do. That's pretty important. And then, you know, you do your online check-in. Once you're paid in full, you just fill out some forms, and it's a piece of cake. And one of the things I'd encourage everybody to do that has kids is that you can do a character call from like Goofy or Mickey, and they'll actually call your house and talk to your kid, you know, say their name and welcome them to the Disney Cruise Line. They'll even say the name of the ship you're sailing, which we did that with Mallory here a couple weeks ago, and it was a big hit. So, you know, it's that Disney touch, Pam, I think, that sets, you know, of course, Disney's a premium cruise line. Let's don't mistake anybody. You know, the rates are lower on other cruise lines, but again, you get what you pay for. And I think that's the Disney difference on their ships.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there is a Disney difference, and I know that that's something that Disney talks about a lot. But for those of us who have been on other cruise lines, you know, we can tell you that there's a Disney difference too. And it's the little things. It's like in the parks and at the resorts, it's the little things that add up to be the big things. And you know what? There are always deals to be had on Disney Cruise Line. And, you know, there's usually a special of some sort on some sailings that aren't sailing as well. Or, you know, there's at certain times of year, the prices are definitely lower. So, you know, definitely check them out. For everyone who is a Disney fan, I don't think that you'll walk away from the experience saying, "Oh my gosh, I don't believe we spent that much money on that vacation. I didn't enjoy myself." That's something that we rarely ever hear on, you know, Disney Cruise Line guests.
And I think too, because there are different cabin levels, like the staterooms where you could have the inside stateroom all the way up to the veranda, you know, all these different levels that they have. It's sort of like the value hotels, moderate hotels, and the deluxe resort hotels. They're all Disney. They're all nice. And you're not going to stay in your room the whole time. So, you know, you could actually save some money and stay in the inside stateroom, but still you're going to be out and about having the best of everything and then just come back to your room and sleep, or back to your cabin and sleep. So, and you could save money that way for more spending.
Good call. That's great. That's a great comparison there, because that's really what it is. I mean, you know, people don't book deluxes sometimes at Walt Disney World because they're going to be commando tours. You know, they're not going to be in the room that much, or, you know, it's a special celebration. You're going to be at the resort a lot, you know, so great, great comparison there. Last one for Russell here. This is going to be his first cruise, and because of schedules, they could only swing a 3-night cruise, and he's asking, how do we make the most of it? My biggest tip for going on the 3-nighters, because of course I'd like to do like the transatlantic or the Panama Canal where you're on there for like 14 or 17 days. We need to talk to Nikki. Nikki just did one of those. Nikki Amog. But, you know, my biggest thing with a 3-day cruise is you're on the ship, enjoy it. Don't start, you know, running from here to there to try to maximize it, because I think that kind of tends to take away from the cruise experience. So I would just say enjoy the time you're on the ship. There's a lot to do, but take time to relax, and you're going to be hooked and you're going to go on another one. So you don't have to do it all this cruise, even though you think you have to, because you're trying to get the most out of it. But I mean, my biggest tip would just be to sit back, relax, and go with the flow, because that's what cruising is all about. So Ricky, you kind of agree with that?
Oh my gosh, yes. And if, I mean, I don't really, the 3 nights, do they have a short, like, do they have a stop?
They typically have like a Nassau and a Castaway Key in one seat.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I would seriously, if you go to Castaway Key, get off the ship. But if you're going to Nassau, I would suggest staying on the ship and enjoying what the ship has to offer. You're not going to lose too terribly much. If you want to get off at Nassau, get off in the morning, go do a couple of touristy things that Nassau has to offer, and then come back to the ship. Because, you know, I think that that's going to be the way to get the most out of your money for that kind of thing. Just because, you know, I mean, you're on a Disney cruise ship. I mean, they have so many amazing things that they have to offer. So you might as well take advantage of what they're offering you. It's what you paid for. So, you know, that's what I usually do when I go on the cruise, is I'll get off on the at Nassau, you know, early in the morning, and then I'll get back on the ship in the, you know, early afternoon, and then enjoy the rest of my day on the ship. So.
Yeah, in the Bahamian cruises, we'll go to Nassau, most of them. And, you know, you can get off the ship and enjoy it, get a picture if you've never been out of the country or something.
Right.
And just go to the straw market. It's right there at the pier. And then, but I mean, the Disney cruise ship is nicer than most of Nassau. I mean, it just is. It's a classy place, and you want to maximize your time. So I'm right with you there. So
exactly.
Let's get to some more of these questions. Russell asked them a little bit later. What time can we or should we get to the terminal for boarding? So, Pam, you want to talk about the port arrival time?
So, this really depends on the type of person that you are. There is no reason you have to be at the port early. The ships usually don't start boarding until about noon. But if you are like so many other Disney fans and Disney cruisers,
just like me,
you want to be there when the port opens. And that's going to be, you know, probably we shoot to leave Walt Disney World around 9 or so, and then get to the port at 10, 10:30, somewhere around there. And we're plenty early during that time. We're checked in and waiting around before they start calling people in. So, you know, that's something to think about. But if you are someone who wants to, let's say you have a short trip and you want to maximize your time in the parks, and so you chose to get picked up later on in the day. I mean, as long as you're there at least an hour before the ship is due to sail, then you're fine. Well, I'm sorry, not an hour. Be there 2 hours yes, before.
You've got to be on for the muster drill.
And actually, you know, as I've said in other cruise shows, my number one rule that I want everyone to follow is, if you're flying in, when are you arriving?
The night
the
before.
Day before.
Night before. Yes. If you do that, you make me so happy. Because I have seen guests miss the ship. Literally miss the ship. And it breaks my heart. Just absolutely breaks my heart.
That's
so anyways.
Terrible. Well, that's just painful to think about. Oh, there goes my boat.
There goes my boat.
Get me a dinghy.
I'm not on it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so speak to this while we're talking about this port arrival time. You know, the advantages and disadvantage of taking Disney Cruise Line transfers, what you can expect there, you know, or, versus renting a car one way or, you know, getting a, you know, some way other to the port. So what are the advantages and disadvantages of each?
So if you're taking Disney transportation, you're really in the hands of Disney, and their pickup times are not going to put you at the port when the port opens. They're going to get you there later, after some guests have already boarded, most likely.
Usually about 12:30 to 1, I think it is.
Yes. So that's something that you may not want. And that's something you have to think about. Like, how do you really feel about that? Taking Disney transportation is very easy. It is convenient for many guests. It is something that really, you know, works for a lot of people. But if you're someone that wants to be there as soon as it opens, then that's something you're really going to want to consider. You may want to consider taking, you know, as Mike suggested, doing a rental car or getting private transportation or something like that. And there are a lot of private transportation companies that you can work with. But
you could have Debbie pick you up and drop you off. You know,
right.
Debbie's a local.
Exactly. I'm a little chauffeur cap. Let's go.
Get
a tip. Well, yeah, please tip your driver. So you know, what about... Well, so I think you made a good point there. I think the biggest thing is like port arrival time, when you want to get there. And you know what? The thing is, too, we got to stress this, that when you check in online, okay, so when you've made your final payment, it's hard to say, and you do your online check-in, which takes about 10 minutes. It's not hard to do. But one of the steps in that is you choose your port arrival time. And so, honestly, those will start filling up with the Uber Disney fans who want to get that very first one because, you know, like I set my alarm for 105 days when I could check in because that's my day to check in. And it's all based on how many times you've sailed Disney Cruise Line, because first time sailors check in at 75 days. And if you're silver, which means you've sailed before, you're a member of the Castaway Club, you can check in at 90 days. If you're gold, you can check in at 105 days. And if you're platinum, it's 120 days. And that gives you kind of that lead time to start reserving cabanas on Castaway Key or Paolo and Remy and stuff like that, shore excursions. But, you know, I get on there as soon as I can and get that earliest time because, again, I drive, so I want to get there early. And that's just my personality. But, I mean, it's a piece of cake to take Disney transfers because you have the Disney experience totally there. You don't have to stress about driving over, getting lost, missing the exit. I mean, I think you really laid it out, Pam, some pluses and minuses to both.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. So Russell asks about being chosen for family of the day, which we got to do that on our last Be Our Guest podcast cruise, my family, how that happens. And I have no idea. Unless, Pam, did you have anything to do with it? I swear, because I have no idea how that happened.
You just show up and it's the luck of the draw.
That's
absolutely right. The luck of the draw. It might help if you are super happy and excited and cheerful about the whole experience. If you get the Disney magic, and that's absolutely apparent from, you know, everything that's about you. And I think that was probably it, Mike, with you. I mean, you know, you could tell you get the Disney magic is alive within you. So,
well, we were sailing on a podcast cruise. I mean, it was absolutely, I was walking through a dream come true that morning. I mean, absolutely 100% my dreams were coming true every moment that morning because friends were showing up. I mean, just the terminal was filling up with friends, and I knew we were going on this great adventure together. I just couldn't believe it, so I was excited. But also, I'll give you one piece of advice that I think helped, because when we sailed last summer on the Dream, just my family, it happened the same way that, you know, you really want to be nice to the cast member checking you in, because there's one person that's assigned to pick the family of the day. And we were picked again as the second. We were also picked as the family of the day last summer. for a second time, 2 out of 2, but we declined it because it was the same cast member that had picked us the first time, and she was from St. Louis, so we knew her, and I had had my picture taken with her, and I was scared. Oh, I'm like, funny. I cannot take advantage of this lady and be the family of the day twice. It's really not fair. But well, the thing I think that got us picked, besides being excited, just like anything else, but we had matching shirts that said something about the cruise, our whole family, Mallory, right, Paige, huh, Pam, and myself. We had, you know, like I said, Dreamin' 2012. It was the logo that Keith had made for us for the podcast cruise the first time. I just had him change the year, and I noticed that the second group they picked also had kind of like matching shirts with Mickey heads and pirate, you know, like little bandanas on them. So if there's one piece of advice, I could say maybe wear matching shirts and be there early. But it's not that big. I mean, it's pretty cool. Don't get me wrong. It was we got to be the first ones in Animator's Palace or in Enchanted Garden. And then one of the first ones on the Aqueduct. We got to walk the ship empty there for about 10 minutes. It was pretty cool. I got to admit that.
Very cool.
All right, so next question. Let's see here. Definitely fly in the evening before. And let's see. Do we need to sign up for onboard activities before we sail or while on board? So, Pam, signing up for onboard activities. I guess he's talking about just the events that happen throughout the cruise.
Most of them will not be available for you to sign up, except the things that we talked about, the spa and the shore excursions, things like that. You can sign up for, there's a package at Castaway Key that gets you floats and bikes and things like that. If you want to do that in advance, you can. If not, you can do it on the same day. They don't run out. But no, like the things that are going to happen while you're on board that you will have to sign up for, things like maybe wine tasting or beer tasting or some kind of alcohol tasting where there's a charge associated with and they only take a certain amount of people, you'll have to do that at guest services once you get on the ship. I'm trying to think what else you might be able to sign up for in advance.
Yeah, a lot of stuff's drop in. Like tastings on a lot of cruises, like tequila mm-hmm. tastings, margaritas, wines, beers.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of, you know, it's kind of show up yeah. first come, first served on those things.
I know, right. Brian. That's kind of how Brian took advantage of that. He might have signed up the night before, but it wasn't anything, you know, really big. So,
all right, yeah, well, that's pretty cool. All right, let's go into the next tip. That's what we're going to talk about, is tips. Marcy on the forums asks, you know, let's talk tipping on a cruise. You know, you get free sodas and all that stuff, so you're not tipping anybody there. It's a great perk of the Disney Cruise Line. There's a soda machine for all soft drinks there, included in your cruise fare, which isn't so on a lot of other lines. But how do you, you know, do you tip your waiters like each night at the table? Do you, you know, who do you tip? What's the tipping protocol? And I know this could be its own show by itself, but yeah, maybe we'll get into this in detail. But the short answer to this is that you typically tip, I think it's 4 people. You tip your head server, your assistant server, your main server, and your room steward. Uh-huh. And I think it's $12 per person. No, I know I'm going to get this wrong because I'm not looking at it. Pam, do you have it off the top of your head?
Well, I mean, Disney Cruise Line gives you the guidelines. Well, it's included anyways now. You prepay your gratuity. Yeah, you won't have to figure it out in advance anymore.
That's true. And what you get is you get a little coupon that goes to each person. Yep. And you give it to them typically on the last night of the cruise as a mm-hmm. thank you for great service. And you can always tip above that because, like we say, your tips are either, you can do that when you'd like make final payment. You can include that. That's typically what I do. If you don't, it'll be charged to your account when you arrive on board. And we always have folks that go above and beyond, whether it's the room steward, just making sure you have ice all the time or, you know, really doing your room well, towel animals, stuff like that. You can always add a little bit more. And I'm sure they very much appreciate that because, and also let me add this too. And I know this is true throughout the cruise industry. A tip is great, and it's very important to the people, but also, if they're an extraordinary cast member on the Disney Cruise Line, when you fill out the comment card, that is huge for them because it helps them get a renewal of their contract, and it helps them advance within the ships and within the company. So, you know, I think that they really appreciate the tips because obviously that's money they need to get by, but just as much as a positive comment card. Wouldn't you agree, Pam?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, like we said, the tips are included now. And I'll run down what the daily amount per person usually is. For your dining room server, usually do $4 a day at least. And the dining room assistant server, you do $3 a day. The dining room head server, you do $1. And your stateroom host or hostess, you do $4. So that totals for $12 a day for those four positions. And for, you know, the Disney Cruise Line ships, those things are already included. You prepay your gratuity when you, you know, pay the rest of that. But absolutely, like Mike said, make sure that if someone, anyone, it might be someone that you tip or someone that you didn't tip, makes your cruise magical, make sure you stop by and remember their name. Get a comment card or mention them in your survey by name. Everyone gets a survey at the end of their cruise. So make sure those are so very, very important.
Yeah. And I have a question, since this has changed since we cruised last. What happens if you prepay your tips and you just get exceptional service and you want to pay them more, can you still do so afterwards?
Just go to guest Absolutely. Services.
Yeah, guest services. Perfect. Make sure you do it more than the night before your cruise is set to end.
Don't do it the night your cruise is set to end. Bad idea.
The lines are long.
Yeah, the lines get long because people are trying to get their accounts squared away. So yeah, definitely if you can do anything that you need for guest services before the last night, it'll definitely benefit you. And I know we're running a little long, so let's go to one more question here, and we'll have to revisit this again maybe next month. We'll go back to this, but this is a big one that Russell asks again a little bit later in the thread. Advantages to booking your next cruise while on board. And you know what? Here's my philosophy on this, and I know it's different for everybody, and I totally respect that. But I would go into your cruise expecting to book your next cruise on board, because you're going to get a couple of advantages. You're going to get a really good rate. You're going to get a discounted deposit. And it's going to be something that you can move around. I don't think a lot of people realize this, but you can pick a date, but that date can move around all over the place as you start to see different itineraries get released. And maybe you want to switch because of, obligations with work or with school or something like that. But when you book it on board, you're getting a huge advantage over everybody else. It's a 10% discount. And so it's not that huge of a deposit. And like I say, you're not locked in. You can get home and cancel and get that deposit back 100% if you need it. So there's no risk. So Pam, you want to speak to that? Because I hope that everybody that cruises with us on the podcast cruise does plan to put that deposit on the next one, because you're not locked into it, but you're going to get an outstanding rate, better than you can do once you get home.
Absolutely. You are absolutely going to get the best rate available for that cruise. So, the big secret, or not a secret maybe, when booking, especially a Disney Cruise Line cruise, is that we all have the same prices. That's just all there is to it. There's actually no group anymore. There's no group pricing. Everyone has the same pricing. The only thing that may vary is there is an agency's onboard credit amount. So everyone, including Disney, has the same price. But when you book on board, while you're experiencing a cruise, you are required to put down the deposit. But you get 10% off the prevailing cruise rate, which means that you can book on board and get the 10% off and get an onboard credit, because Disney offers not only 10% off, but typically an onboard credit. It depends on the cruise sailing date. But typically there's another onboard credit based on the length of your cruise. In addition, if you're working with a travel agency and they offer onboard credit and you designate the travel agency that you want to keep the booking with them, you'll get whatever shipboard credit the travel agency is offering as well. So that's a lot of onboard credit and a lot of savings. It is absolutely one of the best ways to save on a Disney Cruise Line cruise.
And again, it's really no risk, because if you get home and you have to cancel, you can get that refund 100% back. You know,
as long as you cancel before your final payment date. Yes. Yeah.
Most people are looking at booking it. And if you're not sure when you want to take that cruise, just book it for a long way out. You know what? That gives you a lot of time. I mean, just they'll give you like a pamphlet with all the sailings of all the ships. And if you're really unsure, but you want to get a really great rate, just put that deposit down for, something that's not real extravagant, but, get that deposit down while you're on board. And again, do this again before the last day, because that future cruise desk does start to get really busy toward the end because they push this during the cruise. You'll see it in your personal navigator. And it's the best deal out there. And, we always talk about double dipping with Disney discounts, where, man, if I could just get a room discount and free dining, I mean, that's the thing, or, annual pass discount and free dining. This is kind of a way, if you work with a travel agency that offers onboard credits like the Magic for Less, and they're our sponsor, and we appreciate that. But that's a great way to get a great rate and also get a little bit of money from Disney Cruise Line and from the agency. So definitely consider that. Just think of it. You don't have to. I mean, but I, Pam, I mean, it's we haven't heard of many people that go on a cruise that don't ever want to do it again someday.
No, it's true. And, yeah. You know, like Mike said, you can keep pushing that cruise back, you know, and they'll still give you the same offers that they, you know, offered when you booked on board. So it's a great deal.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up here because we know we've gone long here on a Friday, but hopefully we've kind of answered some of those questions for those people that are getting ready to cruise. And of course, we have the big podcast cruise coming up on July 14th of this summer. And again, if you want to join us, please do go over to themagicforless.com, fill out a no obligation quote. Just at the bottom there, put down that you would like to sail with the Be Our Guest podcast, and we'll get you a quote right there and let you know how much it would cost per person, and we can look at different options, and it's a ton of fun. And, you know, we didn't talk about this today, but I think we've said this quite a few times, and sailing is a lot of fun with just your family, but sailing with a group of friends that are like-minded, like our podcast family, it's a truly unbelievable event because you're in a closed environment. You have people on deck swimming, you have people playing putt-putt maybe in the back, and you know, some people are, you know, going to the bars, and some people are, you know, up at the pizza joint at midnight. I mean, Ricky, you can really speak to this. I mean, cruising with a group is a really special thing.
Oh my gosh, it was so much fun, and it's a fun way to gain new friends. Like, you, since you guys are in such kind of closed quarters, you know, kind of like you get super close with everybody. So that's kind of one of the great things about cruising is it can be as much as you want or as little as you want. But cruising with a group is, I honest to God, I don't think I would do it any other way because it's just so much fun to cruise with a group. So I'm super stoked. Super excited, and I can't wait till this cruise. So.
All right. We're going to duck out of here and let you get on with your weekend. Don't forget, today's episode has been brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. So again, if you want to cruise anytime, Disney Cruise Line's a great experience. You want to book that cruise as soon as you can to get the best rate, and those agents over at the Magic for Less sail on the Disney Cruise Line often. They know the ships. They know the tricks. They can tell you you know, great places to go on Castaway Key. They can tell you, you know, I told you about the lounge chairs on deck four, man. That was a free one today. Don't eat them all up. But I'm just saying, those little tips are a lot of fun. And those agents over at the Magic for Less are going to help you get the most onboard credit, lowest price possible, and of course, the most magical cruise ever. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Don't forget, this Sunday is our next live show. This Sunday at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. That's January 20th. We'll be on the air live taking your questions. We can talk cruising. We can talk My Magic Plus. We can talk about anything that you'd like to talk about. Please do put it on the schedule to join us this Sunday, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. We'll meet live over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Until then, Magical Mouse Radio plays great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And don't forget that... And on Valentine's Day, on February 14th, we're going to play all love songs, all Disney love songs from the movies, from, you know, stuff like from France at Epcot. Aww. I mean, you know, I guess French is I guess, love
songs. Sure,
song.
Let's go with love.
There's a little background there.
Why not?
We'll stretch a little bit there. But yeah, we're going to have some, we'll play the soundtrack there for the Valentine's Day holiday. And you better get shopping, guys. You know, start, at least right now is the time to start thinking. You don't have to shop yet, but you got to start thinking. Get the wheels churning there. But anyway.
Right.
All right. So, exactly. Plan on that. And don't forget, you can follow the show on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. I'd love a follow this week. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, on the friendliest forums on the internet at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. So we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your weekend. Thank you so much for sailing through another podcast with us. That's pretty good. I like that. I know. I was just making sure I was paying attention an hour into the show. All right. We're going to duck out of here. You get it? Duck. Just kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
So bad.
You sound like Mike Scopa now. We need to cut this.
All right. Let's just say goodbye. So for Ricky, Pam, and Debbie, I'm Mike. And have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you real soon.
See?
You messed yourself up with your awfulness.
See, yeah, that was it. You get it? See.
Yeah. You get it? See?
Wah, 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 wah.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.